Then on to item 7, presentation of alternative investment fees and expense report. Looks like Rishi and Chi-Chi were on the first page, so I assume one of you will be taking the lead.
Hi, John. Yes, I'll take the lead. Chi-Chi is he has a conflict at the moment, so I'll lead us through this. Could be given presented status, please. Okay, great. Hello again, everyone. I'm going to cover this year's alternative investment fees and expense report. Again, please don't hesitate to jump in with any questions or comments as I'm presenting. So this is the fourth year running that this report's being presented to the board. As you may recall, CSERA is required under California law to disclose certain fees and expense data on an annual basis in a public meeting. So this report enables CSERA to meet that requirement under California law. The scope of the report applies to CSERA's private funds in three asset classes: private equity, private credit, and private real estate. The report looks back at fees and expenses paid to private funds during the prior calendar year. So this year's report shows fees and expenses paid during 2019. As we go through the report, I think it's worth keeping in mind that the structure of the fee report that you'll see on pages 3 to 8 when we get to them, that's based on California's disclosure requirements. Okay, so with that, maybe we can start on page 3. Let me make this a little bit bigger. I'm not sure if that helped much, but so first let me speak to the overall structure of the report. And once we've discussed structure, then I'll provide more detail on some of the specific numbers in the report. Overall structure first, the report on pages 3 to 8 is divided into three sections. We have one section each for private equity, private credit, and private real estate. And each section has 2 pages. And each section has the same columns of information. So on page 3, which we're looking at now, this represents the first page of the private equity section. So let me walk through some of the columns. We'll use private equity as an example, but keep in mind that you'll see the same columns in private credit and private real estate. Some of the columns here are self-explanatory, so I won't go through all of them. I'll start with columns E through J. So column E, management fees, those are typically calculated as a percentage of committed capital or invested capital in a particular fund. Column F is the carried interest. That represents incentive fees paid to a fund manager for investment performance. Typically, there's a minimum rate of net return that a fund manager must achieve in order to earn incentive fees. So if you see carried interest being paid, it typically means that the fund has achieved at least that minimum level of return. Moving to partnership expenses in column G, this is a broad category, but some of the expenses we see regularly in this bucket include things like fund administration, audit, tax preparation, insurance, and other professional services provided at the fund level. Column H, 2019 offset. So this represents fee offsets to management fees. It typically covers situations where a fund manager may receive fees from an investment or a company that has been invested in by the fund. And then that fee received by the fund manager, those fees reduce the management fee that's paid by the investors in the fund. The reason this arrangement exists is because investors typically don't want fund managers to be able to double dip when it comes to fees. So they often require fee offsets in limited partnership agreements. And the only fee offsets in our portfolio worth mentioning is for a fund called AE Industrial. That's the sixth fund. That's the sixth fund from the top of this page. Here you'll see that the management fee for 2019 was about $665,000. The management fee offset was about $495,000. So the net management fee paid by CSERA to AE Industrial in 2019 was about $170,000, the difference between that $665,000 and the $495,000. The other fee offsets you see on this page and throughout the rest of the report are relatively immaterial. Column I, other expenses, those represent expenses that don't fit well into the other categories. In our portfolio, other expenses primarily include interest paid on fund level lines of credit. So one of the numbers that stands out in this report is $1.5 million of other expense for Energy Investor Funds USPF 4. That's the sixth fund from the bottom of the list. That $1.5 million of other expenses represents interest paid on the fund level line of credit. It's a leverage fund, meaning that it holds longer-term debt at the fund level. Okay, moving on to page four now. This is the second page of the private equity fee report, and it focuses on cash flows, fund value, and fund returns. Columns O and P represent all the capital that has been contributed by CSERA and distributed to CSERA, respectively, since inception of each fund. Column Q shows the remaining value in the fund as of the end of the year 2019, and column R represents CSERA's total value as of the end of the year 2019. So total value, that includes the remaining value, plus all distributions made to CSERA since inception. And then columns F through V show fund returns. I think on the return side, I think it's worth keeping in mind that the net IRR shown in column V here's the return to CSERA after taking all the fees and expenses that we've discussed so far into account. So next, maybe let's move on to the private credit section, page five. Page five is the first page of the private credit section. Again, the columns are the same as in the private equity section. A couple of things worth pointing out on page five, the management fee of $1.5 million for Stepstone CC Opportunities Fund. That's the fee paid to Stepstone for management of just the private credit portion of the portfolio. Partnership expenses of about $650,000 for Stepstone CC Opportunities Fund. That includes things like fund administration and audits. There are also some fees paid to Stepstone for management of a small co-investment portfolio. So moving on to page seven now. So the real estate section of the report, the numbers worth noting here, I think for DLJ, RECP, Fund 5, and Fund 6, towards the top of this page, they have partnership expenses of around $500,000 to $1 million, and that's higher than some of our other real estate funds. The reason for that is that these DLJ funds are relatively smaller in terms of the amount of capital that they raised versus our other real estate funds. So partnership expenses, which have a fixed component to them, are spread out over a smaller capital base. And then secondly, CSERA also makes up a significant percentage of each of those funds. So a relatively large portion of those fixed expenses are allocated to CSERA. The larger numbers that you see in column I for other expenses of $300,000 to $500,000 for DLJ, and then a couple of DLJ funds, and there's one Oaktree fund towards the bottom of the list, those represent interest expense on fund level lines of credit. I think the last thing worth noting on this page is the $1.9 million carried interest paid to Sigler Gough, Distressed Real Estate Opportunities Fund. That's the third fund from the bottom. If we move to page eight quickly and track that fund, you'll see that that fund earned a 13% net IRR. The 13% net IRR is after all fees and expenses, including the $1.9 million of carry interest that was paid in 2019. So that's about all I had planned in terms of working through this year's report. In summary, for all of our private markets funds across private equity, private credit, and private real estate, in the aggregate, total fees and expenses in 2019 represented about 170 basis points, 1.7% of remaining value across those three asset classes. Of that 1.7%, about 100 basis points or 1 percentage point was related to management fees. 50 basis points were related to partnership expenses and 20 basis points to carried interest paid. So that concludes my prepared remarks, but I'll pause here for any questions or comments.
Anyone have anything for Rishi? Scott?
Yeah, it was just a great report. I appreciate the call outs, you know, kind of anticipating the questions and answering them. It's really easy to follow, and I very, very, very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
So Rishi, do you see our fee burden decreasing with our change in strategy, getting away from fund of funds?
I think in absolute terms, I think that's right. I think, David, one thing you don't see in this report is the fees that those fund of funds are incurring at the primary fund level, because those are somewhat masked. This fee report is really about the fees that we're paying directly into an investment vehicle. And so if you remember from my presentation where you said, well, it looks like fund of funds have lower fees because of how I listed them, some of that applies to this as well, just optically, but effectively, absolutely. We'll be paying less in fees. There'll be less of a dispersion between the gross returns at the company level and the net returns that are paid to CISO.
Rishi, is it fair to say that on carried interest, more is better because, in fact, that represents a share of effectively income in excess of a base amount that we've agreed to going into the project?
It is, you know, assuming we've done a good enough job of not giving into premium carries when we're negotiating with fund managers, but yes, you know, the hurdle rates that we see in private equity are typically 8%. You can see a hurdle rate of 9% net in real estate. Private debt is a little bit lower. You know, you can see that more in the 6% range. So yeah, if you're seeing carried interest, then it means that you're achieving returns that are higher than those net returns or net hurdle rates. So that's usually a good thing.
Thank you.
Anyone else have anything? Okay. Thank you, Rishi.
Thank you, everyone.